Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Can I tell you, there's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why we are here on the earth. God is a planner. We've been talking about that a little bit. God plans. And we're going to see that in these scriptures, that God is somebody that His planning, the way He does things, is just incredible. And you are here today on the earth today because He planned for you to be here. It's His plan. Isn't that cool? That's a cool thing, man. So I'm excited about that. So if you will, let's go to Exodus chapter 28. We're going to start at verse 36. Glory to God. I got to tell you about this. The end of the book of Exodus, every time I go to read it, just gets me fired up. And I don't know, maybe it's just because of what's happening in this house and what's happening, I believe, in the nation and in the world. I believe we are transitioning into something new. I believe that the kingdom of God is beginning to experience what God has planned for us, is that that each and every person in the kingdom knows Him personally. Do you know what I'm saying? That you know how to find God, that you know exactly how to get in touch with Him so that He can speak to your heart personally. And you're not just waiting for somebody to come and tell you something, you're waiting to get somebody to come in and give you a word. But you just go right to the Father and say, Lord, what's your word for today? Have you guys seen the word for today? I mean, the little book, there's a word for today. I'm going to tell you what, God wants to speak to you personally. And I think, and when I'm looking at the book of Exodus, I see this transition happening. Because they're going from what they didn't have to what God had told them to build. And now it's about getting done in the end of the book of Exodus. I mean, yeah, Exodus. And I get excited. I was only looking at one scripture. But then when I read it last night and I was looking and God began, man, I got all fired up about it. And I hope I don't bore you this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. I see so much going on in this. And it's important for us to listen and learn. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've taken notes, take notes today. I really do believe God is speaking some things to us. So praise God. Exodus chapter 28, starting verse 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, and upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. God is just describing what He wants made. He wants this plate made that says holiness unto the Lord. And He even gets real specific. He says put it on a blue cord so that it can be tied on the mitre. The mitre was actually the turban or the hat that the priests would wear. So He says, I don't want you to tie it on there. So that's what I want you to do. And we're going to move over to Exodus chapter 39, starting at verse 30. Glory to God. 39, starting at verse 30. And they made a plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing, like unto the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now here is the thing that God had told Moses to make. Now here it is that it's been made. And thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all its furniture, his taches, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering. The ark of the testimony and the staves thereof and the mercy seat and the table and all the vessels thereof and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even the lamps to be set in order and all the vessels thereof and the oil for light and the golden altar and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the tabernacle door. The brazen altar and his grate of brass, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, his sockets, the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation. The cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron and Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel made all the work. I want you to notice that they made it all. It's all made now. It says, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. It's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. You might say, well, what's all this about? What, I mean, Moses is inspecting. They have brought everything that Moses commanded them to build. Moses was told by God, he says, make sure you see that it be made exactly the way you saw it in the holy mount. When you were up in the mountain and I showed it to you. See, God showed Moses something. God showed Moses what he wanted built and how to build it. And he told Moses how to build it. And now Moses had gone out to the people and said, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to build it this way. This is the way it has to be. Well, you know, how many know that a lot of folks think that things got to go? Well, I think it'd be better this way. He has said, well, no, I'm sorry. This is the way it has to be, because this is the way God said to build it. Isn't that cool? That's cool. Moses just inspects it and he says, it's done. Even the miter on the helmet or the head or the for the turban, it even had its blue little string to tie it to the thing. I mean, so precisely made. I love it. We're going to read the next chapter. You guys go, oh, no, are you kidding me? We're going to read the next chapter. Yeah, we're going to read the next chapter, because now that it's made, God begins to speak to Moses again. But I want you to notice, as we're reading, God doesn't tell him to start building. He waits and he tells him, start in the first month of the first next year. I want you to start building. But before he tells him to, before he builds it, God tells him how to build it. You built all this stuff, but now he says, I'm going to tell you how to build it now. Sounds to me like God's a micromanager, isn't that right? I mean, okay, God, we get it. We know how to build this thing. We can see how it works, God. But now God says, I'm going to tell you how to build it. How many like being told what to do and how to do it? Nobody likes that, huh? Now, come on. What if they're smarter than you? I don't care, huh? So what? I want to do it the way I want to do it. Is that right? Is that the Burger King way? I want it my way. Let's just do it my way. But here Moses is standing before God, and now the Lord begins to speak to Moses once again. And he says, and the Lord said to Moses, this is chapter 40, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Tells him the date. Is that right? Put it up on this day. The first month, the first day of the first month, thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, the cover, the ark, and with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and the light, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. Thou shalt set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Okay, God. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water in it. Okay. Okay. He even has to tell us to put water in the laver. Isn't that crazy? And thou shalt set up the court round about and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein. And thou and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. My poor Bible. And thou shalt anoint the altar of burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. Yeah. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, anoint him, sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst their father, and that they may minister to me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout all the generations. Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded, so did he. These were the commands, but the day came for Moses to build it. And I just want to kind of explain a little bit on this tabernacle. It had pillars, and it had boards, and it had all these things to make this tabernacle. Everything that it had, God was very, very precise in telling them how to build it. They had to build a framework first, and then they had to take this cover, this badger skins. It was super thick, super heavy. They had to drag it up, drag it over the top, and bring it down, set it there. And then they had to take the Ark of the Covenant and take it into what was going to be known as the Holy of Holies. And they were going to put that Ark in there, and then they were going to put a veil on it to cover that. And then they would put the altar and incense, and they would put the candlestick, and then they would, and on the other side of the room, they put a table where they would put bread on it. And then they would put a veil in front of that. Oh, I'm getting excited. I like this. I like this story. I know you guys are going, what? What are you talking about? And then they would put the altar of sacrifice right before the door. And it's the place where they take the animals and put them on a sacrifice and burn. And it was just a incredible thing. But the time came for them to build it. And here's God. Verse 17, it says, it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, just like God had told him to do, that the tabernacle was reared up. Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened its sockets, set up the boards thereof, put the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above above the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering. And covered the ark of the testimony and the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the south side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Notice, as the Lord commanded Moses. Notice that, right? And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense therein, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water therein to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near to the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. I like that. Moses did everything that God had commanded him to do exactly the way he told him. Didn't skip, didn't do things, but, oh, we know how to do this, we'll handle this. No, he did it exactly the way the Lord had talked to him about it. What I love is this. I love this part about this. Maybe I bored you to death reading this thing just so I can get to this part. But let me just say this to you. I love it because I really believe. See, this was something new. Is that right? Can you get me? Do you hear me what I'm saying? This was something new, brand new. They hadn't seen it before. Had never done it before. It was new to them. Folks, God has got new things for us all the time, if you'll just go to him. But this was brand new. And I really believe with all my heart that God was saying, yeah, come on, put that last curtain up. Come on, man, just get it up. And then when they got it up, Lord says, I'm going in, watch out. And boom, I mean, I think God was excited about it. Praise God. Because this was the place where God says, I'm going to meet with you. I will meet with you here. Mm. It says right here, it says, check it out. It says, I'm going to read 33 again. And it says, and he reared up the court round about, so the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode therein, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Isn't that cool? God was waiting. Let me fill this thing. Hallelujah. Got to where Moses can't even get in because somebody's in there. I love it, man. And what I want to just say to you this morning, I said, do you think that God is a neat freak? How many of you think God might be a neat freak? Man, I'm going to tell you what. Did you notice how detailed he told them to build this thing? I don't think God is so much a neat freak. I think he's just a God of order. How many of you think that? Amen? I think God loves order. Is that right? He loves things when they're ordered correctly. Hallelujah. He loves it. How many of you ever walked up to a soda machine planning to get a Coke or a Pepsi or something, and there's a sign sitting on it that says, out of order? How many of you ever done that? You like that? Don't like that. I was in Safeway the other day, and I was... I went up and I said, hey, I'd like a medium drink. What they do is they give you a cup, and you just go to the ice machine. They got a little soda machine there on the side. Well, I bought the cup, got over the machine. There's a sign on it, out of order. I said, come on, man. I went back to the lady. I said, hey, you sold me a cup of your machines. She goes, oh, I forgot. Oh, yeah. Nice. You got it. She said, oh, you can get it. She goes, go ahead and grab a soda out of the ice, out of the refrigerator, then you can have that. But I'm there for the ice. How many like it? I like my soda cold. I like ice in it, man. And that's what I was there. I said, yeah, okay. It's just not the same anymore. And it's all, like I told you before, it's like the Holy Ghost says, you can't get everything the way you want it, can you? It's just, I mean, so what? Just take it and be happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. One day I was, just a few days ago, I'd gotten up in the morning, and I had brushed my teeth and everything, and the lights were on, and left the restroom, went into the kitchen, and noticed that my phone wasn't plugged in. I said, oh, I better plug this thing in. So I plugged it in, and usually I'll hear a little bleep. You guys know what I'm talking about? You hear something that says, tells you that you just plugged it in. It didn't happen. So I went over to another outlet, plugged that in. So what's going on here, man? What I didn't know, I hadn't even tried to turn the lights on in the kitchen. The power had gone out from the time I had left the restroom that, and then I got to the kitchen. Didn't notice. So, I mean, and it was at the moment, my house was out of order. It would not work. I mean, oh, man, I've got no juice, man. How many of you know sometimes we get a little out of order? Is that all right? How many ever been out of order? Yeah. Come on, man. Glory to God. What does out of order mean? What's the words? Doesn't work. Is that right? Not working. It's not working. How many ever had things in your life that says it's just not working? You ever done that? You've ever been in that position? Hey, everything I'm trying to do doesn't seem to be working. Is that right? Hallelujah. Well, God's a God of order. Do you know that? He is a God of order. So maybe the question is, are you doing it the way God's given you to do it? Or are you doing it a different way? Are you doing it on your own, the way you want to do it? I believe the word of God is pretty clear that he says, you know, he goes, look, I am in control of you. How many know that? For the last 3 weeks, man, the last 3 Sundays, I have been speaking to you that God is in control of your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the one that watches over you and he knows all your needs even before you go to him? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he has made a promise to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's just the truth. Hallelujah. You know how many, we're here to tell you the truth this morning. Hallelujah. How many know the truth is good?
Amen.
Yeah. Truth is powerful. It's passionate. Hallelujah. It's either all true or it's not true at all. Is that right? Truth is just that way. We were talking the other day that the world doesn't even know what truth is anymore. Well, they'll tell you Pilate's version. Well, what's truth? What is truth? The Word of God says, Jesus said, tells his Father, thy word is truth. We're here to tell you the truth. How many of you say, yeah, come on. Yeah. How many know sometimes the truth hurts?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, man. The Bible says the Word of God is a two-edged sword. Sometimes it pokes and it hurts, man. And hallelujah. But I don't know. God isn't out here to hurt you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to build you and strengthen you. Is that okay? Is that good? Can you say that?
Yes.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen to that. God is for you. He's not against you. And sometimes his word comes to you and you go, oh, man, I get it. I mean, you like that. I love it when it happens because it gives me a chance to walk somewhere new. It's cool. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Can you trust God?
Yes.
Can you trust him? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Hallelujah. Do you sense the Lord leading in this verse? I will direct your path, he says. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on those things that you think needs to happen. Allow me to speak to you. Allow me, the Lord would be saying to you, to lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. Well, we're headed somewhere. You might not get it. Psalms chapter 37, verse 23 says this. Oh, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Is that right? They're ordered. Hallelujah. He loves you. And so he's going to order your steps. Is that right? It's a good deal. I'll tell you, it's a real good deal. But you know, sometimes we got this way of wanting to do it different. Yeah, Lord, I want to step over here. Or I don't think that's a good step for me, Lord. Lord is trying to get you to go one way. You say, I don't think that's a good place. So I'm going to walk over here. I'm going to step over here. Nevertheless, the Word of God says that your steps are ordered. Is that right? And there's times in our lives where we're back. I'm going to tell you, we're out of order. Is that okay? Because we are stepping in a place where he hasn't called us to be. So if he hasn't called us to be there, and if he hasn't called you to step there, I can tell you, you're out of order. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? Can you receive the ability that you might have that you may be out of order? Oh, no, Pastor, I'll never get out. Ah, no, I know what I'm doing. Do you really? I don't even know what I'm doing. And I'm going to tell you that first. You can get out of order in an instant with God. And God will direct you and lead you back. Is that right? Into his order. Did this die? No. Glory to God. Your steps are ordered. Let me talk to this bunch right here. Sometimes your boyfriend or your girlfriend will try to get you to get out of order. Do you guys hear what I'm saying to you? Know this. Know this. Sex before marriage is out of order. Do you hear me? Anybody in the house, man, do you hear this? Sex before marriage is out of order. And it causes things. It damages. Do you know that? How many know that? It really does. It really does. You're out of order. You're operating out of order. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, sometimes we can get out of order. God will say, I cannot bless you in that position. Do you know that? When the Lord spoke to me about doing this, this was his word to me. He says, you are a pastor. You're not a minor. I cannot bless what you're pretending to be. You see, I was out of order. I was out of order. But God was getting me into order. Is that okay? Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. You might not like this, but it's good for you. Is that right? Is that okay? Glory to God. There are two areas in your life. I'm going to talk about these two areas this morning. There's two areas in your life that God has given you a clear word about order. Okay? He's ordered you in these two areas. Number one, seek him first. Can we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? The word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. First thing you do is you seek God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, church? You've got no other place. No other place you need to be more than seeking God. No other place. I will tell you that as your pastor, because I know that he's calling you to do things that nobody else has done. You plus God makes it something so unique in the earth. You don't get it yet, but you will. God has great things for you. Hallelujah. But you gotta seek him. You can't let mom seek you, do your seeking for you. You can't let dad do your seeking for you. You can't let your pastor do your seeking for you. Well, pastor will tell me what I need. Uh-uh. No way. You have to do it on your own. On your own. Just you and God. God, what do you got? What do you have for me? Let him order your life. Hallelujah. Let me give you another scripture. Psalm 63, verse 1. Check this one out. It says, oh God, thou art God. Early will I seek you. Can I tell you, when he says seek first the kingdom of God, is that what you're doing? Are you seeking first his kingdom? When you get up in the morning, what's going on in your life? Hallelujah. That's just the question. What's going on in your life? Are you seeking him early? Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. And then he says something. He says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I like this scripture. How many like this scripture? Liars. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. This is a great scripture. Somehow David is exposing something here. I want you to look at. Because in 1 Thessalonians, can you bring 1 Thessalonians up? Chapter 5, verse 23. Let me show you a little bit of divine order. This is what the scripture talks about you personally. Everybody in the room is under this. It says this, the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Spirit, soul, and body. I believe the word of God is very direct in what he's saying here. He's telling you there is an order here. It's the spirit first, the soul, and then the body. Spirit, soul, and body. That is the divine way that God wants you to operate. That's why it's so important that you get up in the morning and you find God, because your spirit will receive what you need from God, and it will begin to pour that into your soul, because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and it wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to, I don't want to forgive them. I don't care. You know what they said to me. I don't care. It is the divine order. This is his order. If you're not seeking God, I'm going to tell you something. You're out of order. You want to tell everybody how it needs to be in the church? Come on, can I tell you that sometimes the word of God feels like it's hurting and it's hurting? But I will tell you, you want to tell everybody how it's got to be, but you're not in order because you're not even seeking him. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. That's God's word. That's what he says. Now, when you go back to where, back in the Psalms, sorry, says this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. And then David kind of reveals this. He says, look, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Isaiah 26, verse 9. Look at this one. Isaiah says something a little bit. With my soul have I desired you in the night. With my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. You see, God loads your spirit. Remember last week we talked about how God loads you with benefits every day? He loads you in your spirit. His benefits come via your spirit. Hallelujah. And then it is your spirit that dictates your soul and says, no, we're not gonna walk that way. We're gonna walk according to the word of God. We're gonna, you know what? Can I tell you? Just try fasting. How many of you guys like fasting? Anybody in the house like fasting? I didn't think so. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, immediately if you go to the hospital, they're gonna throw you on a fast. Is that how many know that? They put you on a fast right away. Because fast is kind of good for your body. Can I tell you, fasting, when if you try to fast, your body's going to revolt. Is that right? How many know that? Your body says, mm-mm, not me. I remember going to work with a fast on my heart. I'm fasting. Somehow, some salesman will show up with burritos. And you know what's weird? That burrito's even in my mouth before I even realize, oh yeah, I'm fasting. I said, Lord, why don't you remind me? Stay in control, Henry. Be in control. Come on, man. How many know that? If you try it, you're going to watch. You're going to find that your body will revolt. It doesn't want to do. It doesn't want to go after God. It will not. Can I tell you? You know what fasting does for you? It creates a place where you begin to tell the soul, not your will. It's not according to you, my friend. It is, I'm a child of God. I am spirit. I have been born again. My spirit will now dictate what's going to happen in this vessel. And you know what? We're going to fast. We're going to look for God. We're going to listen for him. And I'm going to tell you something when you approach it that way, not because you want to be smarter in the kingdom than anybody else, but you approach it because you just want to hear God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't hear God because the potato chips you're eating are too loud. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm messing with you. Glory to God. God is desiring, hallelujah, to speak to your spirit so that your spirit will be in control of your soul. You see, the Word of God tells us this way. He says, your soul is in your hand. The things that you want to do, it's in your hand. But the Spirit will begin to speak to you, saying, no, 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 we need to seek God on this. You know what? I want to go buy me a new car. I kind of like that new Tesla down there. It looks really nice. I think I like it. I'm going to go get it. And your spirit will say, hey, you need to seek God. Hey, God will give it to me. No, you need to seek God, man. You hear what I'm saying to you? The Word of God gives us some order. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. When you seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to find that God begins to speak to you. It makes it easy. How many know that? No, it doesn't make it easy. It just gives you some order. Is that right? How many of you have ever sensed that, you know, that you haven't been seeking God? It seems like everything's just kind of stirred up around you. Nothing feels peaceful. How many of you ever felt that? I mean, it's because you haven't been seeking God. So seek God and watch how these things begin to work themselves out. You begin to get this peace in your heart. Says, oh man, God, I'm glad you're with me. I'm going to relax here. It's cool, man. Glory to God. The other thing now. Oh boy, you're going to love this one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Giving you a couple of first steps. How many like that? Is that okay? Where we're talking about God has the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. Giving you just a couple of first steps. This first step is one that a lot of people have problems with. I'm not kidding you. A lot of folks don't get this, but it's because they don't understand the blessing that's behind this. It says right here, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. How many like that? How many want your barns filled with plenty? Hallelujah. I've seen some of your garages. You got plenty. Amen. Hallelujah. But he says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits of your increase is the Word of God has told us. Remember how Malachi received tithes from Abraham? Abraham actually gave Melchizedek, the priest. Abraham actually gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the spoils that he had taken. I'm going to tell you that it is important to you, not to me. It is important to me, but it's not for me. It's for you that you pay your tithes and you pay your offerings. Did you be faithful to the offerings that you say you're going to give? And then also to your tithes. If you're in this house and you belong to another church, let me just say this to you, or you go to another place, but you're just visiting here and we don't need your tithe. How many know that? We don't need that tithe. That tithe, your tithe, needs to go to your church where you belong, where you call home, your home church. I don't want to be taking your home church tithe. Is that okay with you? I trust God. I trust God so much because God had spoken to me. Listen to me. A lot of you don't get this, but he spoke to me and he said, there's something you're going to do in this house. You will not take an offering. I don't want you to pass a plate because my people should know that I will bless if they will give. Is that right? That's what he says. So we do not pass a plate in this house. There's a box back there. If you believe God's word, you're going to find the box. Is that okay? Watch this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, read this. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I have found this to be true in my life. The same measure that you meet, it'll be measured back to you again. Hallelujah. I told you about the truck. I gave away a 1970. Sounds really old now, don't it? You guys, 1970? Who would want one of those? But back in the day, it was a 1970 international truck that I was building up, had rebuilt it, rebuilt the engine. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to give it to this guy. And I didn't want to give it to this guy. He didn't really, well, actually the Lord spoke to a person and they told me, hey, you need, I think this guy, he's from Mexico, he needs a truck like yours down there. And I said, not my truck, no way. And my wife had come to me and she said, I had a dream that you'd given your truck to this guy. Whose wife are you anyway? I said, man, I don't know. I don't think so. And I had another pickup that I had bought. I was working at Firestone. There was a truck down there that the manager got mad because it had a flat tire. It had been there for like 3 weeks. And the main manager told him, hey, get rid of that truck. I don't care what you do. I had asked about it. And they said, hey, you still want to buy that truck? I go, yeah, how much for the truck? And they said, $50. I said, all right, $50. Took it, bought it. Had a little thing wrong in the transmission. Fixed that and was driving it the next day. They were... But I had that truck, and I was building this other truck, and the Lord said to me, how dwelleth the love of God in you if you see your brother has a need and you don't fill that need? I said, come on, this is my truck. Okay, so reluctantly, how many ever done something reluctantly for the Lord? Reluctantly, I gave this vehicle. I gave it away. Lady at the bank said, hey, she goes, you got to charge them something for it, for this transaction. I said, hey man, you got a dollar? He goes, yeah. So he bought my truck for a dollar. Hallelujah. I'm kind of mad at God. When the guy showed up at my house, I had a couple of things to finish, fix it, I had to put some wheels on it and put the tires on it because they were off because I'd rebuilt the front end. But I put the tires on it and told him to come on out. We'd cook him dinner, and he brought his boy with him. And his boy gave me a hug when they were about to leave. And he looked into my eyes and he goes, gracias, hermano. He's a little guy. Yeah, you're welcome. Whatever. Get out of here. Oh, man. My attitude wasn't very good. And it wasn't too long ago it wasn't too long right after that. Some things happened. And I was praying. I said, God, why? Why did you have me give him that truck? Why? And the Lord spoke very clearly to me. He reminded me of that little boy's face. Looking up and telling me thank you. He said, so that that young man would know what a Christian is about. Well, shut my mouth. Is that right? Okay, God, no more complaints. But I've noticed that I can tell you my old truck out there, that red truck, the 1993, Chevy pickup. I've got no idea how many miles are on it. It's run and run and run and run. My son took it to college for a little bit, took it to California. My daughter started going to college. She needed a vehicle, gave it to her. You drive it. She drove it. They broke in, tried to break into it, ruined the doors on it, but that's okay. They never got in. But that truck has, I mean, the same engine. I would say, I don't know how many miles are on it. But I know that God has blessed my vehicles because I gave. Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Do you know that God wants to bless you? There's a man in the house this morning, a place where you can give an offering. You can say, hey, man, I'm going to give. Because giving creates something. It creates a flow to you. The more you give, you cannot outgive the Lord. Do you know that? The more that you give, the more that God's going to pour into you. If you stop giving, the flow stops. And God says you're out of order. The order is not working. It's not working. Some of you say, well, it feels like the order is not working already, and I'm still doing that. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God says, give and it shall. Is that right? Be given. Is that what the promise says? Give and it shall be given. That sounds, doesn't say when. Is that right? Be patient with God. Praise God. Check this out. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. How would you like God to just be saying that to you in your ear? I mean, wait a minute, God. No, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you. Look at that's what he says. I will not open, if you do this, I will open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall destroy the fruits, he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. How many say that sounds good to me? God wants to bless you. He really, really does. But you've got to act like him. How many of you know that God's a giver? Is that right?
Yeah.
The Word of God says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. When you give, you know who you're acting like? You're acting like God. And that's a cool deal. God says, he looks and he says, man, I get it. That's my kid right there. My son came to me one day and he says this. He had been hanging out with some folks, man, because he was a musician. He liked me. And he comes home one day and he said, Dad, I don't have to give my tithe anymore. Because ever since he was little, I'd give him a dollar and I'd ask him, how much? Isn't that right, Rebecca? How much do you owe God? 10 cents, Dad. Okay, 10 cents. Make sure your God gets his 10 cents. You're going to give him a tenth. Ever since they were little, my kids learned that they were going to give. You're going to give God because the Word of God says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Anything that you get from him, you got it from him. Is that right? So, and all he says is, hey, man, just a tithe means 10%. Just give, just keep this rolling, my friend, my son, my daughter, my grand, just keep it rolling by giving. And he says, I don't have to give anymore. He was pretty proud about it too. I said, what do you mean? I said, what are you talking about? And he says, I don't have to give my tithe anymore. I said, well, who told you that? He goes, well, that's what they, you know, that's part of the law. And the Bible says we've been redeemed from the law. I go, oh, amen. Okay. I said, not there. I said, let's look at the Word of God, mijo. Took him into the Word of God where it says that Abraham paid tithes way before the law. How many know that? Way before the law. And I said, here he is paying tithes. The law hadn't even showed up. The Bible says that Levi, the priest, was in the loins of Abraham. So therefore, even Abraham's children paid tithes. I was glad because my son goes, hey, they're wrong. He told me, yeah, they're wrong. I said, hey, you don't have to tell them that, but you just tell them, you show them. Don't just say, man. Because God has asked us, he's given us a first step in this area. You give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he give into your bosom, into your hand, he'll give it to you. But you got to be somebody that knows, believes, and says, man, God will bring a return on this. I want you to look at Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. This will be the last one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Glory to God. I want you to see this because we're going to wait on this because I really want you to see these scriptures because it really describes some things. Paul is admonishing the Corinthian church to give. And he's trying to tell, he says, you know, there's a fair, if you give to them in their need, there's going to be a need, and you know what? It'll return on you. It will come back to you. You just give. Paul is talking to him and might go through that sometime next, I don't know when, whenever the Lord lets me. But he says this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Can I tell you that? That if you're going to hold back on your tithe, you're going to reap kind of holding back. Say you don't want to give it all. Do you guys remember what happened to Sapphira? Do you guys remember that? Ooh, yeah. How many? Sapphira and her husband. What was his name? Was it Annas? Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah. They sold their land, and it was okay for them to sell their land. Man, it's okay. But what they did was they lied to the apostles and told them, we gave you everything, but yet they held half of it. See, they created something. It looked good. It was a lie. They lied about what they did. And the Word of God says that the Lord first killed him and then went after his wife. Because, I'm telling you, at that time, I believe that the church was just starting. It was just breaking out. And there was a consequence for what they did. And it was a heavy one. Woo, it was a heavy one. Heavy consequence. Hey, if you don't want to pay a tithe, don't pay. But don't expect God to give you for that stuff to come back. Do you hear me? You don't want to pay your tithe. You don't want to pay your offering. That, you know, you don't want to give an offering. It's okay. I will tell you right now, it's okay, but I'll tell you, I would like to see the people of God giving. Because God will shut things down for you till you begin to hear. These are first steps, folks. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. First steps. And then here the apostle says, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. He's telling us, give and give over in abundance. And you watch what happens. He says, every man according as he purposes in his heart. Do you hear that? Every man as he purposes in his heart. Listen, that is why I believe he says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's why when you're seeking first the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God is speaking to you, begins to speak to you. And you get into a house, and you get into a place, and you're able, the Holy Spirit might say to you, I want you to give this much. I want you to give this much. Generally, can I tell you, normally that is an offering he's talking to you about. Listen, it's time. Your tithe is something that you, by your own, you go, I'm going to give a tithe. I'm going to give a tenth. Some folks give 15%. Some folks give 20. Some folks 30, 40, 50. I know there was a guy that Farmall Tractors that had built a, I guess it was a disc system. Maybe it was McCormick. I can't remember which one it was. But he had built this, and it was just so he could plow his ground. I mean, people heard of it and started buying it. Next thing you know, he had this business, and he was giving. Now he's living on 10% and giving God 90%. And it's because God blesses the heart that gives. That's just the way God is. Our church is a giving church. Do you know that? Do you know that this church pays tithes? There are people out there that we are supporting. Glory to God, man. And I'm glad. I don't know if I could stand it. If I was in a church and I knew it wasn't paying tithes, wasn't getting what it was getting, taking a portion out and sending it out somewhere else, I don't know if I could stand that because I believe wholeheartedly in what God's saying here. That we are to be giving, folks. That's how we touch the world. Amen. We gave to a young man that was in Africa here probably 2 weeks ago, a week ago. We gave to him. He's creating these manuals for pastors and teachers, leadership, to be used in Africa. When we gave, he found out about the money. The books were being translated into Swahili, but then right after we had given him our offering, which was our tithe off the church, he calls me up within 10 minutes of the, he goes, "Hey man, I just got another call from another brother that's there in Africa, and they want to translate this book into Pete." It's a language. Where was that at, brother? Northern Somalia. They're gonna, and I never heard of the language Pete, but they're gonna translate it into Pete, and there's a chance that these translations will reach around 5 million people, is what he told me. Because we gave, and God opened another door. It's cool, man. We have to be the giving most people in the earth. How many know that? Because we know how it works. Hallelujah. My mom would give, but she'd give $5, $3 here. Take this to the church. When I was an altar boy, here, take this. We were never taught about the tenth, about the tithe. We just weren't taught. We were taught to give, but didn't say how much. God says, give me a tithe, a tenth. Or more. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here's a scripture. He says, every man according as he purposes in his heart. That's why you need to be praying, because God will speak to you on how much to give, when to give it. As he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. How many know that God loves a cheerful giver? Are you happy when you give?
Yes.
Are you? Come on, I am. Hallelujah. Bible, that word actually translates into hilarious. A hilarious giver. Oh, God, we can't wait to see what this is going to do, Lord. Thank you for it now. Praise God. It says God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Is that because you're being obedient? In all things, you may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. And then he says this, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. What you're going to find is when you give, you're going to find that God gives right back to you. And like I say, folks, there's some of you that are saying, yeah, but I give. And I'm seeking him. And yet, it doesn't seem like it's working. Folks, listen, it's based on promises that God gives that says, it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Based on his word telling you it's going to happen. When it's going to happen, I don't know, but it's going to happen. So you remain faithful in those things. Hallelujah. I believe God is doing a great work. I believe his church is moving forward. I believe the tracks that we're on, just like the place where the children of Israel were in Exodus, where they come to the point where that tabernacle got built, all of a sudden something new's coming. Folks, let me just say this to you. I believe God is doing some great things in this city. I believe it. And I know that God is going to touch you and going to touch your heart. And you're going to find that God is so faithful to you that you're not out of order, but you're in order. Your steps are being ordered by the Lord, and you're going to find that everything that you've asked him for, you're going to begin to see those things. Those things that he has promised you. He has promised you, not me. He's promised you great things. Can I tell you about health? He's gonna heal like we've never seen before, because we're walking in the steps that he's ordered and not on our own. Is that cool? Praise God. Can you stand up? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you this morning, Father, for your people. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, Lord, as your word has said, that you would touch, Father God, not only the gift, but also the giver. So, Father God, I'm asking you, Father God, that you make your people the most giving folks in the world. That you, Father God, show them your glory. Show them, Father God, what it is that you intend in their lives because of their obedience to you, their obedience in prayer, and their obedience, Father, in giving. I give you all the praise for it, Father. I give you all the glory and the honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Hug somebody's neck on your way out.